I guess it's not. So we've been digging into a few little bits of obscure scripture through this series. So as we look at Miriam, you may know all about her, in which case now is your cue to go to sleep. But if you don't, let's just have a prayer and see what we can find out about her. Father, thank you for your word. The whole of it is inspired by you. And perhaps we don't always look at some parts of it. But we pray that we may learn through this passage today and learn about more about Miriam. Quite a difficult passage to comprehend in some ways, but it's worth looking at. So we pray, Lord, that you'll help us to understand. Amen. So, Miriam, brief rundown. First, what we know about her. Her name. Everyone's name in the Old Testament had a meaning. And I think I'm going to have to ask Bill or someone to read that top line because I can't. But apparently her, according to one of the leading commentaries, her name means someone who bitterly wished for a child, or bitterness, rebelliousness, or lifted up. So a little bit of a mixture of meanings there. But I looked at another commentary, and I think I prefer this one actually for the meaning of her name. Fat, thick, and strong. I don't know if she was. I've never met the lady myself, but and I don't know which commentary we ought to rely on, but they were both genuine quotes from commentaries. And the name Miriam apparently is an early version of the name Mary. So some of you are Miriams. What we know about the lady is that she was born to a couple of people called Amram and Jochebed, who were from the tribe of Levi. They were Hebrews, Jewish people. Best known probably for being the elder sister of Moses and Aaron. We all know of Moses, of course, Moses and Aaron. And she died in a place called Kadesh, which is in the wilderness of Zin. Now, geographers among you, please tell me where that is, because I haven't a clue. I've never seen it on a map, but it might be there. Sinai. Right. And apparently she reached the ripe old age of approximately 125. So that's Miriam. She appears in three passages in the Bible, and we're going to look just very briefly at each of them to see, to try and get an overall picture of this lady. The first one we read about, I know you will almost all know about the incident where the baby Moses was found in a reed basket. But perhaps not so many of us have latched on to exactly where Miriam fits into it. The emphasis seems to be on the basket, on the princess, and on the baby Moses. Now, the background, in case you're not aware, the king in Egypt was getting so fed up with the increasing number of Hebrews, of Jewish people, being born in that country, that he felt he was going to be overrun. So he decided to get all of the male children killed off. Not very nice, but that's what he did. And that's why the mum of this little baby was put in a basket to try and escape that killing. And what happened was, one of the princesses, in the Egyptian princesses in the land, found this baby floating in a little basket among the reeds, and she pulled the basket out and didn't quite know what to do. But standing by, there was a very young Miriam. At the time, she was probably in her teens or even less, and she was quite bold because she approached the princess. She was a slave girl, the daughter of a slave, yet she went up to this princess and said, do you want me to find someone to look after this baby for you? And then she, when the princess thought of that, said, yeah, let's do that. What Miriam did was she took the baby to, you can guess, the baby's own mother, who was a Hebrew. But in doing so, Moses got reunited with his mum, and then he was looked after because the princess promised to pay the fees to look up, to pay for his upkeep. How about that? Makes child allowance look a bit weak, doesn't it? His full support came from this princess, even though he was the child of a Hebrew. But I think some of the local papers, the gossip costs, would have picked up a few slight wrong emphasis on that. They might have picked up such a headline as Princess Deceived by Miriam to Save Her Baby Brother. Because Miriam kept very quiet about the fact that the baby she was taking the child to was taking him back to his mother. So that was the first bit where we hear about Miriam. She cared and saved, in fact, her little baby brother. The second time we can read about her is in Exodus chapter 15. Totally different circumstances here. Clearly she was quite a bit older. And we read that she was a prophetess. She was a musician. And she was a leader. She had some degree of authority over the other people. Because what happened there in that passage was, she got out her tambourine. She brought out the tambourine and danced round, around, round with the rest of the women there and started singing. But the song that she was singing wasn't what we would call a normal worship song. Fortunately, it's not one that's in our books, so we're not likely to do it. Because the song she sang was celebrating the death of her enemies, the drowning of the horses and the men of the Israelites. And no, that's not a mistake where I put Reed Sea, because we believe that is the correct name for the sea, which is sometimes called the Red Sea. And this was the song that she sang. Sing to the Lord, because he has won a glorious victory. He has thrown the horses and their riders into the sea. Not perhaps the sort of worship song that we would want to sing these days. It's right to praise God for being saved from an enemy, but I'm not so sure that that's the way we would do it today. So our tabloid newspaper might well have said, folk singer Miriam sings praises for death of men and horses. Tambourine wheel dancer gloats over deaths. That could well have been the sort of emphasis some people would have put. And it would have put a damper on that praise. But scene three, the one we read today. Moses, I'll just read the first couple of verses again. Moses had married a Cushite woman, and Miriam and Aaron criticized him for it. They said, has the Lord spoken only through Moses? Hasn't he also spoken through us? Well, fairly innocuous comments, perhaps, but it resulted in big trouble. Probably not many of you remember school days like this, which is when I was a lad, you know, but were you ever called to the headmaster's study for a ticking off? No, don't answer, it might embarrass you. Or perhaps you've got a ticking off for your boss from something. I expect most of us have experienced that at some time or other. Well, what happened here is that Miriam got a ticking off from God. In the story we read, that God called Aaron, Miriam, and then the two of them stepped forward and the Lord said, "Now hear what I have to say, all right? Listen." A ticking off. But why? What had she done? All they said was, "Has the Lord spoken only through Moses? Hasn't he also spoken through us?" Now that doesn't seem to be too much of a dreadful comment, does it? It's the sort of comment that a lot of us would make where we felt someone had been pushed in front of us. It's not the sort of thing at all to cause a major rumpus, yet for some reason God decided to give her a good telling off. Well, what was all this about? Various people have come up with various ideas, and one of the least credible ones, but nonetheless, it is a suggestion. We read that Moses, from Israel, had married a Cushite. In some versions of the Bible, like the one you read here, it translates that not as a Cushite, but as a Nubian. And yet other versions read it as an Ethiopian. But it's quite clear that wherever this was from, he had married a person of a different race. Was this what had angered God? Of course it wasn't, but some commentators suggest it might be. So, why did God punish Miriam? Was it just the brother and sister were a bit annoyed? You know, sibling rivalry, I think they call it, where they got a bit jealous of what was going on. They were jealous of what Moses was doing, because Moses, although he was younger, he'd taken a place of authority over those two. Well, I'm no expert whatsoever in this field, so I had to look up the commentaries. And it seems as though the reasoning behind it came in an understanding of Jewish law. If anyone here wants to contradict this, I'm more than happy to be corrected, but this is my understanding. It's something called Lashon Hara. Miriam gossiped, or commits Lashon Hara with her brother Aaron. She questions why Moses is so much more qualified to lead the Jewish people than anyone else. And this was her sin, apparently. It sounds strange to today's, but apparently in those days, gossip and negative speech were forbidden in Jewish law, and they were a sin. Oh dear, where does that put some of us? Are we a bit negative sometimes? Probably most of the time, some of us. Do we gossip? Of course we don't. Or do we? That was the situation, and that is why she got the ticking off. And it suggested that the best cure for this is to only speak good of other people. Now, this is based on the Levitical Laws, which is another book that we're probably not too familiar with. And in Leviticus 25, it says, "You shall not wrong one another." And apparently the Jewish rabbis have decided that that refers to wrong talk, to speaking out of turn. to saying something which will upset, which will destroy. In other words, if we say something that is not really what we should say, that is not just something, a slip-up, it is a major sin in their eyes. So, the reason, it seems, God punished Miriam is because she challenged God's authority by criticizing Moses. So God went on and said, he said that, now hear what I have to say. I have put Moses in charge of all my people, Israel. How dare you speak against my servant Moses? That's what had annoyed him. And not only did it annoy him, not only did he give her a ticking off for it, he actually dished out some punishment. It says in verse 9 of Numbers 12, the Lord was angry with them, and so, as he departed, and this was departing from the tent where they worshipped, Miriam's skin was suddenly covered with a dreaded disease and turned as white as snow. Not very nice. Not the sort of thing we'd expect, perhaps, from a loving God, is it? Bill was speaking just before we came up here about God of love. Not perhaps what we would expect. And of course, our local rag had a field day with this. Israelite Miriam contracts leprosy as punishment from God for being racist. Well, who knows? I'm sure some people, knowing people, would have been thinking along those terms. Because a lot, including the media, look for the worst in everything, don't they? And another point, and this one took a bit of understanding, is God guilty of sex discrimination? Because you notice it was Miriam who got the punishment of the skin condition, not Aaron. Yet it seems as though both of them were saying exactly the same thing. Is that something that is right? Equality and all that? Where was it? Well, that's something even the rabbis have picked up, and they thought it was inequitable. They came up and looked at it, and they decided that the reason was Aaron was a high priest. If he had contracted a skin condition, he would be permanently unclean. He could never fulfill his role that God had given him as high priest. And it suggested that's why Miriam was punished and he just had a mild ticking off. So, what can that lot mean to us today? This happened so long ago, yet there's a couple of principles that are still equally applicable. Now, I didn't read all that lot, and I hope, I don't know if any of one of you do. If they do, then no comment. But isn't it true that these days gossip, celebrity gossip, is everywhere? It hits the news. It hits the news disproportionately to the reality of what's going on. And this could have well have happened in the case of Miriam, that she got a lot of bad publicity. So perhaps she's not one of those women, like a few of them we've looked at, who we should take as an example to follow. But it's probably partly because every time she opened her mouth, she seemed to put her foot in it. She didn't deal things all the things as tactfully as she could have done, apart from perhaps when she found the baby Moses. But the message of this passage is that gossip does not please God. I wonder how many of us like to spread a little bit of gossip around. Be honest to yourself for a moment. And I bet there's not one person in this room who hasn't at some time done that. Let's face it, we're all guilty of gossip. And I think this passage has a stark warning for us that it does not please God at all. It's something he does not want as part of our lives. So Miriam needed to learn one important lesson. And that was to think of the implications before she complained or criticised. So the challenge to each one of us is, do we, when we're about to criticise someone, do we think before we jump in, or just do we just do it? That's a question that each one of us needs to look at if we're going to take on board the message from Miriam. Do we do that? Well, the remedy for this: seek the good in others. And I would add one word to that: seek only the good in others. And if we set that as our method, as our practice, then we're not likely to be annoying God, to be told off by him. That's the message, I believe, that Miriam has for us.
It's a very important message too, about not being judgmental and gossiping and critical. But you know, sometimes passages of scripture can